Today's episode is about betrayal. It is a heavy subject. I just know that you and I have both been through our fair share of a betrayal in this world. So when I thought of us filming together alone today, I thought betrayal would be a really good topic of conversation.
It is, if it saves someone from not falling into the trap of a lurking, betraying person around him, that's more than enough.
Let's start with, because I really thought about this, knowing that we were going to come in and discuss this, the definition of betrayal. So how would you define betrayal?
The simplest one is break of trust. But I think it has much more than that, because trust can be broken in many different degrees. Betrayal in specific, for I think it's the most heinous human behavior.
I agree.
And that is why it is being frowned upon severely. And if you look, for example, at the punishment of betrayal traditionally and in history, and I'm not pointing at a certain specific nation or a regional country or so. Funny, strangely speaking, that the severity of the punishment of betrayal was almost universal. Almost.
Yeah.
They always picked the worst punishment the mind can come up with.
As a punishment for betrayal.
As a punishment for betrayal. And why is that? There must be a reason for it.
You mentioned that it's because society crumbles with betrayal.
Well, before it crumbles, it is built on what?
Trust.
On trust. The simple, basic form of society. We are five people living in a cave between male and female. How could we? We have all this world to fight against. We have all those threats outside. If you cannot trust the people around you, how can you?
I agree. It reminds me of the saying, it's going to sound a little irrelevant, but it is quite relevant. You know how with raising children, the saying, it takes a village, because back in the day, it used to take a village. And to trust a village with your most precious being, your child, but they would trust the entire village to raise their children.
Absolutely.
Because the village and the community was based on trust and loyalty and honesty.
Men would go either to acquire the means of life, risk, trade, fight, farm, do whatever they had to do. Sometimes they would go for months upon months.
Yeah.
And they would never be able to leave without leaving few men behind them. Because children and women need protection. So what is the most basic requirement on those that you leave behind?
That you trust them.
And what is the most basic requirement on those that you allow to go and
that you trust them.
That you trust them. And how does betrayal happen?
When
somebody
breaks trust.
Uses the trust that's been bestowed upon him for personal benefits.
Ah, okay, I understand. I get what you're saying.
And that would actually cause the crumb, the destruction of the form of whatever society you are living in. Now you can extend this to society, to companies, to organizations, to countries. And it's always the level of destruction that comes from betrayal is always. And the thing is, those who benefit from betrayal usually are one or two, a very small group of people. And they step on the interest of whom? Everybody else.
Yeah. So the next question was, how does betrayal affect you?
Well, now we are in a much more sophisticated form of existence. We have very complicated form of relations. internal relations between family and between members you call as family, you're born with them or you bring them into your life as family, and you have other forms of homogeneous relationships that we live in, colleagues, people you work with, people you travel with, people you start business with, small projects with, or people you have just simple interaction with. And I would ask a very simple question. How would life look if we remove trust completely from it? Because we cannot trust, because we have a serious threat of being betrayed or being cheated. Like, I think of cheating as a much, much, much lower form of betrayal. How would life be?
Lower, you mean lower in severity or lower?
Because when you go buy something from a shop,
yeah,
you trusting you there is a form of trust being built that he's giving you a good product.
Okay,
but if he cheats you, he broke that trust.
Yeah, but that's not as severe as different exactly. forms of betrayal. Okay, I understand. I thought you meant a different kind of cheating. Okay.
So, what turns cheating into betrayal is the severity of it and the amount of trust and the form of relationship. Like, in my understanding of it, the most harmful, poisonous, and the most heinous form of betrayal is that happens within the same family.
I agree.
Because there are so many lines and taboos that has to be broken
in order for that to happen. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I was thinking about this today, and this is where my thought process kind of went into it just a little bit. And I was thinking, so there's the conscious betrayal and then there's the unconscious betrayal, right? And there is unconscious betrayal in the sense of you could perhaps make a mistake and you're not fully aware of how much it's going to affect the person or how emotionally they are going to be attached to this betrayal. Let's put that on the side for a second. And then I was thinking about the conscious betrayal, right? Because it's very different than an unconscious betrayal. And it's two things. It starts with, I know that I'm going to do this. And it could start with something small, like the cheating someone out of a good quality product or whatever. Where is the line drawn? And a lot of people will tell you, no, but that's just a small thing. They're trying to make ends meet or whatever. But I really thought about that. Where is the line drawn? If I start by cheating someone out of $100, I get a little greedy the next time out of $1,000. Next time I steal from them. Where's the line when it comes to conscious betrayal? Because it's the gateway, right? Even if it starts off quite minutely, that's just the gateway for greater betrayal to transpire.
With betrayal, there is a complete disregard of the interest of the other party. Complete disregard.
Not necessarily, not always. That's why I'm saying the conscious betrayal of, let's say, okay, so conscious betrayal can take place for multiple different reasons, especially if it's starting off smaller or lower forms of betrayal. It could be out of jealousy, fear, envy, a moment of panic, an emotional moment. People can transgress and make the wrong decision, right? It's still a conscious betrayal, so I'm very careful with it. It's not justifiable. That being said, I can understand the reasoning. What I'm trying to say is if you've done it once, you've crossed that threshold of I'm not a person who consciously betrays into, no, I knew what I was doing and I did. And you were worried for the other person. I know this is going to hurt them, but out of a moment of panic, fear, whatever, you did it. What's to stop you next time, especially if you get away with it, get away with murder, what's to stop you from crossing that line and turning into someone who betrays? Because everyone has the ability to betray. Not all of us materialize that ability.
Those who commit the major betrayal acts, they had went through all those stages you talked about.
Yeah.
You might not be part of the game. You may not be part of the process. It might had happened while you are not aware of it, or while you are in a completely different geographical location. But they come to you, or they come into your life, and they're ready for it. They have already broke all those taboos.
Yeah. Okay, so you were saying betrayal in immediate family members is one of the worst forms of betrayal. I fully agree. It's, you do have to cross a lot of line and boundaries. The one that leaves the most sour taste in my mouth is a parent betraying their child. Because biologically, something fundamental went wrong. And there's no coming back from that. If a father betrays a son, a mother betrays her daughter. I will equate that as well to siblings betraying each other, especially siblings close in age who had the same experience, who were close as children. It's unforgivable.
It's much more common within siblings than you think of.
It's very common within siblings.
Yeah.
It's extremely common within siblings.
Yeah.
Every other story you hear is, oh, my dad and my uncle are suing each other. Oh, my mom and her brother don't talk anymore. Oh, my mom's brother stole the house. You hear it in, I don't think I have any friends who don't have parents who have issues within their sibling dynamic.
Yeah. How to deal with it?
How to deal with betrayal when it happens? Internally or externally?
Both ways.
Ruthlessly.
I like that a lot, because I do believe that's the only way you can deal with the betrayal.
You taught me this at a young age. You said a lot of things are forgivable. Betrayal is not one of them.
Well, I fall into the trap of trying to forgive betrayal twice in my life. And twice in my life, it came back from the same individual to hit me
10 times harder. Of course.
And mainly the soft point, the area where is that they were love related.
Blood related.
Yeah, I said love.
You said love.
I said they're blood related people, and you know, it. I think this comes out from our deep need to have family members and support and roots and backup. But wake up to it. If a family member betrays you with the smallest form of betrayal, sever the relationship.
Sever the relationship. Just to clarify to the audience, they'll ask what if you can give an example or two of betrayal, because I know it'll clarify things.
Well, it's different from a man to a woman. What triggers a man? What
his honor.
What absolutely betrayal breaks honor, but what are the things that a man would trust another man with?
His family.
Which is woman. Money.
Even his children.
His children.
I will say his children.
And
men could digress.
And also social image.
Reputation.
Yes.
Status. Men who care about status, yes.
Yeah. You can act like you are my family, my friend, but you do damage to my social image outside, to my status outside.
I will say the same applies to women.
With women, the priority changes.
Children first and foremost.
With women, just the priority changes. With women, you might not find money as a priority. With men, it's a major, major priority. I have to trust you with money. I have to trust certain people with money. Otherwise, I cannot go and build business. I cannot, you tell me, sign contracts, fine. You tell me, take. At the end of the day, all the legality cannot protect you. If there is not enough level of trust.
Yeah. Okay, we were saying, Bismillah, you were saying, how do you handle betrayal. And I'm going to reference something that you... I said ruthlessly for a very specific reason. You handle betrayal ruthlessly and mercilessly because it's a transgression that cannot be forgiven. I don't care what your reasonings are. I don't care what your justification is. I don't care what you think you've been through. Nothing will ever justify betrayal in my eyes. And if you betray, you are cut off completely, without a doubt, with no option of return. It is an impossibility. You will never find me again. That being said, I remember you taught me at a very young age, Imam Ali, he forgiving, kind, loving, patient, all of those beautiful things. But if he drew his sword, it was to chop heads. I will say, you betray me, I draw my sword to chop a head.
Well, that's true. He never left an injured man. Nobody survived his hit.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Betrayal will eat at your soul. People who have gone through betrayal, and I understand that there is a certain kind of trauma that's attached to betrayal, and it affects the psyche and the soul differently, but because of the way betrayal affects the psyche and the soul, it doesn't affect it the way other traumas do. Betrayal is a very intense kind of... The people that I've seen forgive betrayal and brush it off and continue to allow the person to be in their life, I say this sentence quite often, but they really do become a shell of themselves. Because it's interesting, but by forgiving someone's betrayal, you betray yourself, and your soul knows it. So you function as half a human almost.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I see them. It's like something in their soul was ripped and taken away because they function and move and breathe differently. I can see it transpire in front of me. And I think that's very interesting that by forgiving a transgression like betrayal, you end up betraying yourself.
Well, betrayal does damage those who have been the victim of it. But what happens to the one who...
Okay, now you're making yourself sound super duper smart. This is in my notes. I wrote this question down, okay? Okay. You can't steal my question. Like, you're the smarty.
Can I steal your question?
You can add, how
can
does
I
it affect...
It?
Can I say something?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to reference Andrew Tate. But subhanAllah, I actually saw this before I watched that Andrew Tate podcast. Because I know that you've been betrayed by men in your life. And I watched that, like, very side by side with you and saw how that happened and how it transpired and how you handled it, which I admire very, very much. And I used to tell you, it left the worst feeling in my soul when I saw men betray men. Women betraying women, it's a different thing. It's just as heinous, and we'll talk about it, but I'm talking now strictly about men betraying men. Men, zlam, bishawarib. And it never sat right with me. More than anything I'd seen or experienced or witnessed before. And I used to tell you, those men that betrayed you, when I look at them or I see a photo of them or remember them, I almost used to sense a coat of grease on their skin, as if they were just...
Sleazy.
Greasy, sleazy. It made me feel the way I feel watching a horror movie. The few very rare times I watch one, that feeling is what I felt whenever I would remember them or they'd cross my mind. And then subhanAllah, I saw an Andrew Tate clip and he said, when a man betrays a man, there is a stench or a coat of grease that comes upon him that cannot go away no matter what you do.
No.
And I found that very interesting because I felt it in my soul. And then I heard someone say it and I'm like, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. It stains a man's soul.
Believe me if I tell you this. There is a certain individual in my life who had betrayed me, betrayed a lot of trust that's been bestowed upon him. And as my own child, I thought of him as my own son. I would hug him occasionally when I used to see him, and he always smelled just like a baby in my nostrils. Suddenly, there was this intensive, horrible odor every time I hugged him, and I couldn't just relate.
Mm. SubhanAllah, one of the questions that I actually wrote down was, can you ever see betrayal coming?
You can.
Of course you can. I think your subconscious knows Always.
You can. People around me saw it. But I was, people around, very dear, close people around me saw it.
I know.
And I think we are blinded with our need to find people that we love and trust. I do recall very well one night when I called this individual to tell him there is something going wrong. And it was just before the prayer of Fajr.
Mm.
And strangely, he was awake to pray also.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, that was a person who faked piousness or piety. I think that's the right word. Well, forgive me.
There is something wrong with their concept of whose God is or what he's doing.
I agree.
Anyway, I said, there is something wrong. And he intentionally used that tone. And he said, trust me. I said, you're asking me to trust you. He said, yes, trust me. I said, do you know what happened to those who break trust? And I wasn't referring to this dunya. I wasn't referring to this life only.
I know. Can I say something about that? It's so there are certain people who've betrayed us, and some during our lifetime, I've seen them be punished in this dunya, and punishment they will never recover from, you know? And then some, it's almost as if we're waiting for the punishment to happen, right? And when I ask you, Bismillah, like, why hasn't it happened yet? Or when will it happen? Or it's not even that. We know that karma is real and God is just, to everything will Absolutely. Take place. That being said, I just want to add that when I would inquire about it, you looked at me once and you were like, I'm laughing, but you'll understand why. Because it's actually even scary to say out loud. But inshallah, God gets my vengeance from them in this dunya. Because if not, it will be in the akhirah. And that's a completely different punishment.
Oh, I actually said that from a point of mercy.
Yes, you did. Because you would rather that they pay their dues. You have to pay the price for your sins. That they pay the price for their sins in this lifetime and not be done with it, rather than in the akhirah. And some of them have not paid it in this lifetime. And I'm borderline now just saying, you know what, maybe bil akhirah is better.
Not maybe.
No, it will happen.
There was only one individual in my life who had betrayed us in a very heinous way. And I was told that nothing will happen to him in this dunya. Nothing will happen to him in this life. And I knew what does that mean.
I understand. Is it the same person?
No, somebody else.
Someone else, okay. I understand. But it takes me back to that point that يتعاقب بها الدنيا ولا بالآخرة. It's interesting. It made me think a lot about just mistakes in general.
Well, we at the end of the day, we are just simple Muslims. This life for us is a transition. It's just like waiting for your train to come.
Yes.
What happens on the waiting station or in the train station can be forgotten very quickly in few minutes in the trip. The final trip.
Mm.
So the final trip is what matters for us. I hope.
Inshallah. So I mentioned the coat of grease, and that's how the person who betrays, that's how I see it affects them. Why do you think it affects someone so much to commit a betrayal?
It breaks the essence of humanity. Mm. It breaks the most basic threshold, steps, bases that society is built on.
But what if people argue? Actually, it's not even argue. I would have this question, but hasn't betrayal been a part of society since forever? I have the answer to that, actually, subhanAllah. Usually, especially because societies were very community-based, you know? And every community was a thread that was put together, and like we said, it takes a village. So back in the day, Bismillah, what am I trying to say? Back in the day, communities were based on faith, trust, the same religion, the same lifestyle. Everyone raised everyone's children very, very as one nucleus. And if someone transgressed, committed a crime, betrayed, they were ostracized from that community. And that meant death because you could not survive without your village. So that was, and like you said in the beginning of this sit down, that globally throughout history, the punishment for betrayal was always the most extreme of punishments. So back in the day, they used to be ostracized and they would die without their community.
Well, those who are ostracized from their community, they have committed a form of betrayal, which does not require. You see, to ostracize somebody, you give him an opportunity of survival. It's so limited.
It's a form of mental torture.
Yes.
You give them the hope that they can, but they
most likely won't. But those who commit higher form of betrayal were actually
killed.
Killed.
I understand, yeah, there is that.
And in the most heinous way.
Yeah.
I remember my child.
Which one?
Muhammad. And he was 10, 11, starting to read, and I had one of those Kutub al-Sihah, one of those hadith books, and he went through a hadith which exposes, which talks about a betrayal that was committed at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by a group of men. And then the punishment that they was bestowed upon them, the punishment that was. And as a little child, he came and he's panicking. How could we do something like this?
I remember this, yes.
As Muslims. And I'm like, wait. Don't talk about the punishment. Talk about the crime. Do you know?
Yes.
Do you know what is their crime? And do you know? And when I sat with him and explained to him the consequences of such crime, especially on those times where your life depends on the few camels that you own.
Yes.
Not only your life, the life of your children, the life of the tribe.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of sense. And as a young child, he said, yes.
That makes sense. When I... makes a lot of sense. We said how to react to betrayal internally and externally. So I mentioned about the externally, it's a extreme severing, cut off immediately. There's no opportunity to have a discussion, conversation about it. It doesn't matter. Internally, how should one handle betrayal in the heat of the moment? A fresh wound.
The first thing that comes after when you are subjected to betrayal is you need really to handle your anger, because it creates a massive amount of anger within us, and also disappointment and pain. Now, what we do most of the time is we start attacking ourselves as we did something wrong. And we did. We trusted the wrong person. But a lot of people handle this by trying not to trust anymore.
Yes.
Which is insane.
Yes.
I would say go back to your trusting mechanism and work on it. How do you trust people, and why do you trust people, and what is the motive behind the trust you have? Go back to your trusting mechanism and work on it. You will find that you've been attacked through a hole that you left.
Can I add to that? You said people get angry, and I believe that most of the time people get extremely angry, and the self-blame is because all of a sudden, they almost have this avalanche of flashbacks of moments where they knew something was wrong with this person, or they saw it coming. Because it happens, but it's rare. Most of the time, your soul knew. Your gut feeling knew. You're not really surprised someone betrayed you. Very few times someone's surprised and they really didn't see it coming, I understand. But most of the time, anytime anyone has ever betrayed me, I've kind of looked back and I was like, yeah, I'm not that surprised. Because طبع البني آدم, it's the nature of the person. Here's the thing. If people want to say, I really didn't see it coming at all, you need to take a step back and redefine your level of intellect when it comes to understanding personalities and people. Because if you are so blind that you could not see it at all, something in you is not where it needs to be. Because people are not that great of liars.
Oh yes, they are not.
When you were saying someone discovers that they've been betrayed initially, there's this extreme anger and self-blaming. And I'm saying that I feel a lot of the time the self-blame comes from they replay the thing through their head and they tell themselves almost, I should have known, they did this, I wasn't comfortable with this. Because your gut feeling, it is there. Whether you have tapped into it, are conscious of it, it's there. And it rings alarms, it steers you or tries to pull you back from going into a dangerous direction. So with exceptions being available, because there's always exceptions, people need to really take a step back and kind of self-reflect to how did they get to this point. Number one, you attract everything that happens into your life. Abuse and betrayal alike. I stand by this. Number two, you need to reevaluate how you view things, what you view as kindness, what you view as a good relationship, what you view as a healthy dynamic. Because if you thought what you were in ticked all those boxes and you still ended up at betrayal, then it's going to sound like I'm blaming the victim, but you do need to kind of revert back to you and yourself and why you allowed it to get this far. Because 9 times out of 10, they're not that good of a liar. The betrayal was coming, it was coming.
You know what made it easier on me to go through the betrayal is me questioning myself and where did I go wrong? Rather than all the time blaming the other party for betraying me.
Absolutely.
And like, after all of this, am I in a stage now where I would trust people again? Yeah, I would trust people again, but I think I will change my mechanism of trust.
Absolutely.
And because I don't think we can survive as humans without a form of trust.
Absolutely.
It's impossible.
I agree. I think the revisiting between you and yourself is very important because you need to also ask yourself, how have I become? Because betrayal only happens, we're talking now specifically about betrayal from the closest people to you. So the betrayal that feels the deepest and the heaviest. And you need to ask yourself how you attracted and befriended someone so much and built this much of an emotional attachment to someone who had no problem stabbing you in the back.
At all.
And it's hard for people to come to terms with because most of the time it'll be, I never asked to be betrayed. I didn't attract someone stabbing me in the back, but you did.
I disagree.
And you allowed it.
We did. We allowed it. And actually, I even had certain people telling me,
watch out. Yeah. And a lot of the times, especially when it comes to personal relationships or romantic relationships, most men and women who have been betrayed, both will tell you, oh, my friends or my family warned me. A lot of them will tell you, oh, my family hated her. Oh, my family hated him. Oh, my friends warned me about him. Oh, my friends warned me about her. So usually there are telltale signs. It's a complete blind willingness to be blind.
True. But who pays a heavier price?
The person committing the betrayal.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you why. The person committing the betrayal, because that is a divine price to pay. It's very different. A lot of people will tell you, no, it's the person being betrayed. But that is a self-inflicted punishment. When you latch onto it, when you hold onto it, when you make your entire personality revolve around it, when you unwillingly... No, actually not unwillingly. When you willingly stay stuck in that victim cycle, then you've punished yourself. So some people will tell you, no, it's worse to be betrayed because I've been traumatized. I'm going through all of this hard time, but that's very willing.
That's very willing, and that's nothing compared to the to what's happening to the nothing compared to it. Because the loss there is multidimensional.
Yeah.
And most of the time, for you, the one who received the betrayal, you have been denied a right, or you have been, or something which you own has been taken away from you.
Mm.
You can go rebuild that or own it again, or even much better. But the one who committed the betrayal, what he lost his soul.
Mm.
And that's not something you can just go tomorrow and buy.
No, you can't.
And you cannot even repent from that.
Yeah, I agree.
You cannot. There is no repentance.
I agree. How do you move on from betrayal?
You just move on. It's a cycle. You just paid a price for some certain miscalculations that you had. You've seen things, you've seen an individual or things or a situation in the wrong way. Accept it.
I'll tell you how I moved on from betrayal. And it was a compilation of lessons learned from previous personal experiences and one that I learned from you specifically. I started, and as funny as this sounds, this is the one that I learned from you. I started by apologizing to the person who betrayed me. Not in person, but between myself and me. And when you first told me that that's what I needed to do, it kind of took me a moment. But then I sat with myself and I figured out how to do it. I started by apologizing to the person who betrayed to me, just between myself and me. And I apologized to them for being a test that they failed in this dunya.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I did.
So I said, I'm sorry for being a test you failed in this dunya. And I truly, truly apologize. And then I thanked them for being a test I passed in this dunya.
I told them, I'm sorry for being the door to your hell.
Interesting. Well, yeah, because it is. I'm sorry to be the test you failed in this dunya. And then I thanked them for being a test that I passed in this dunya. And then I took it a step further and I really thought about it. They gave me an opportunity to allow the trauma of their betrayal to be something that fuels me to be a better person, to understand human nature better, to be a better judge of character, to choose the people I encircle around me in a much wiser way and much smarter way. And it's made me all the better. I would not be where I am today if it was not for the people who betrayed me. But that is a willingness to do better and be better. I took a very bad thing and made it better. That being said, people need a neuroscientist to say this. If I say this, it's like, who are you? You're so young. But a neuroscientist also recently has come out and said this, that it has been scientifically proven that trauma is the key to happiness.
Well, absolutely.
But if I say it... Aren't you young?
And absolutely.
But every trauma I've been has made me all the happier. Truly, it has made me happier. They have made me.
Imagine a life without trauma. It's not a life to live. It's a status. It's a state of, it's a form of nothingness.
Another question I have written down is how to make sure you are not in a state of betrayal to yourself or others.
How to?
Make sure or guarantee that you are not in a state of betrayal. Because the most prominent form of betrayal is the betrayal of oneself. And that happens every day, whether we see it or not. So how would one make sure that they're not in a state where they're betraying themselves or they're betraying others?
Oh, that's a very interesting question.
Personally, I know I'm in a state when I'm not betraying myself. When I'm living the way I would if I was consciously aware God's watching me right now. Because God's watching us at all times, right? But then they tell you you have to behave as if God's sitting in the room with you right now. And that's when I know I'm not in a state where I'm betraying myself. If I would make this decision consciously aware that God's watching me, if I would think this way consciously aware that God's watching me, if I would commit this act consciously aware that God's watching me, That's how I know I'm not betraying myself.
Allah. I would say that that's a very deep, remarkable answer, actually. From my perspective, I would ask my question, if the same is happening to me, is what I'm doing is happening to me, would I accept it? Would I feel that's a fair form of interaction?
But we're talking about betraying yourself here, not someone else betraying you. I understand you wouldn't do it to someone if you felt as if it were happening to you, you wouldn't be happy with it.
That's also betraying yourself, because how do we betray ourselves? We betray ourselves by betraying others. That's the only form of betrayal, or by allowing others to betray you.
By allowing others to betray, that's not the only form of betrayal. I could betray myself without anyone being involved.
By not standing to the standards of morals?
Mm.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. By not living as if, even at home alone, fully alone, just you and your bedroom and your four walls, no one's watching you. But if you were to behave as if God's watching you, my room would be clean all the time. No shirt would be out of place. But that's a form of self-betrayal. If I let my house get a little too messy, why am I not taking care of myself, of the roof that's over my head that I should be grateful for because it is a gift by God? If I behave that way, you know, then I'm taking care of everything around me as if it were, because it is truly a divine gift that has been bestowed upon me. So when I do that, or sorry, when I don't do it actually, that feels like I'm betraying myself. Honestly, when my room is messy, I feel horrible. And that's betraying myself if I'm allowing myself to feel horrible. It has nothing to do with other people. It fully has to do with my soul.
Subhanallah. You know, I think the most painful and hidden form of betrayal is the betrayal of oneself.
Yeah, because I think it's one of the main things it stems from. Forget trauma, victim mentality, depression, all of these things. Truly, one of the main things it stems from is taking life for granted. Oh, I'll clean my room tomorrow.
Is there because a tomorrow?
Is there a tomorrow? Oh, I'll pray tomorrow. Is there a tomorrow? I don't want to get emotional, but my cat died this morning. I really miss him. And I was on the phone with a friend, and I was telling her, and she took a step back, and she's like, what do you mean?
You know, it could be any one of us.
So that's the thing. It made her reflect on life so much, because it's my cat, and she's like, I know you love Romulus. And she's like, even I love the little dude. Like, I feel sad for him, because I woke up this morning to him just, khalas, he was dying. Took him to the vet. A few hours later, he was gone. Just like that. 1 minute he was here, the next he's gone. And that's just a cat. But it really makes you think, I'll clean my room tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll call my mom tomorrow. Oh, maybe tomorrow I'll go to Ras Al Khaimah and visit dad. It's okay. That's the biggest betrayal of myself. It's taking things for granted.
Yep, I saw the same happen, but not to a cat. I saw the same happen to very dear people in my life.
Yeah.
That you taking it for granted that they're there, and you just receive a phone call, just like the way I received your phone call this morning.
When poof,
but
they're gone.
It wasn't Romulus, it was your father. It wasn't Romulus, it was your mother.
Yeah.
It wasn't Romulus, it was your sister. That's it. It's as easy as that.
Yeah. And that's, to me, that is the biggest betrayal of oneself. And this is one of the things that I think about a lot. And I'll reference Ban al-Alami, because we referenced her once in a video, but it wasn't released as a full-long podcast. And she told me, you have to figure out what your five core values are. And you have to go to sleep every day. Before you go to sleep, you have to take a moment and think about and reflect on the entire day and ask yourself if the day aligned with what your core values are. So one of my core values, and it's the top one, is God. So if I, by the end of the day, I look back at the day and I ask myself if I was acting as if God watched me the entire day, can I go to sleep okay? And most people can't. And that is the biggest form of betrayal. Because by betraying yourself, effectively you are betraying God. By taking life for granted, you are betraying God. By brushing it off into khalas, I'll just do it tomorrow, you are betraying God. So no, betrayal doesn't just involve other people.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You see...
Oh, I'm turning into an emotional mushball, and I tell people not to get emotional.
It's just that when you mention the word betrayal, it seems that the hierarchy of, or the priority of things form in our mind differently.
You're a man. It's very different. And we were, to be fair, we were talking about a specific kind of betrayal. Ultimately, I think it does lead to this because we were also asking, how do you make sure that you're not in a state of betraying yourself or others? If you betray yourself first and foremost, if I'm being really honest, that is the gateway into betraying others. I don't, by the way, this is actually quite interesting. One of the metrics I use to know if someone's going to be in my life or if I'm going to trust them or allow them to be in my life, I look at how they treat themselves, first and foremost. Most people will tell you, oh, if they did this to someone else, why wouldn't they do this to you? I don't think about that. But for anything, if they talk to themselves this way, if this is how they're treating their body, this is how they're behaving, this is how they're going about their day, this is their reaction to things, the negativity, I don't trust them. Because if they talk to themselves that way, you best believe they'd betray me in a heartbeat.
You know, when that final grave betrayal happened to me, I have not... The first thing is, I sat with myself and I said, what did I do for this to happen?
Of course.
Because don't tell me.
You did nothing and it just happened to you.
I did nothing and it happened to
me. The first thing people should reconcile between them and themselves, and I've said this before, is you have attracted everything into your life, good or bad. And don't give me extremes of people of extreme abuse or whatever, because even that, yes, absolutely. You can't just take credit for manifesting beautiful things and not the negative things.
And
it's a totality.
I saw it as a combination of two things. Dues I had to pay. Or sins I have committed that have involved a form of betrayal. Maybe I'm aware of it, maybe I'm not aware of it. But God will never. Because you know, you have to claim that you are one of those prophets to be put into the state of trial without committing sins, without committing what...
Absolutely.
Because prophets are the ones that actually face the most trials.
Yeah.
And even betrayals. And all of them had been betrayed.
Of course.
But does that apply on them? It doesn't.
Well, I'll just end it with, it's just an honor to even go through anything similar to what they've been
through. Yes. 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 When you go through what the Holy One, especially this beloved Prophet of ours, went through, remember that you're sharing a common, what is it? What's the form to call? What can you call it?
I don't know.
Experience.
Journey.
Journey.
Energy, essence.
Infliction.
Alhamdulillah.